Today's reading is from Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5.
The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he made man on earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind who I created from the face of the earth, men and animals and the creatures that move among the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favour in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth was corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both of them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it, and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you were to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found your righteousness in this generation. Take with you seven of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and two of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and for 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came on the earth.
Lord, thank you that you've given us your word to tell us everything we need to know. Lord, please help us to learn from you this evening. Amen. Amen. Probably all heard the story of Noah's children, didn't you? You know, when you're about two, sitting on someone's knee, almost a little fairy story, almost, isn't it? Lovely rainbow, all those lovely animals. Yet that is, what's this dingbat say? You know dingbats, don't you? What's the clever saying? Honestly, Nick's taken all your brain power away from you. Missing the point. Chris doesn't get it. Yet this story about Noah is essential for adults. Actually, it could be an X-rated story, because so many people died such a horrific death in this great flood. It's not just a lovely fable about an old man. Now, some people, when they read this story, they love to go off at tangents, and there's some fascinating tangents, like, when was the flood? How much of the earth did it cover? But that again is to miss the point. And there are some fascinating questions. This next one. Someone told me Chinese, Nick, who speaks Chinese, sort of educated. You know the Chinese characters? They're invented about 2,650 years before Christ. And yet, that symbol there is for a big boat. It's a ship. Now, it is fascinating that it's made up, that composite, of a boat with eight people on it. Where does that come from? Eight people on a boat? On a big ship? That's the ark. Anyway, these are fascinating questions, but that's not the point. The big point is the disaster. An absolute disaster. I don't know what you came up in your discussions. And the First World War was horrific. 30 million people died in the First World War. Do you know what happened in the Second World War? Three times that number. 90 million died in the Second World War. But that's little compared to the exterminations under Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao Zedong. It said that greater than 120 million people died under those communist regimes. Look with you at 6 verse 5, Genesis 6, 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination, note this, of his thoughts, of the thoughts of his heart, was only evil all the time. Do you notice that? We think of evil as what people do, don't we? You know, they love a murder on the television. Nothing like a good murder. Or some famous person who's committed adultery. Stealing, drunkenness, all these things that people do. But here, the Bible right at the beginning says, no, the root problem is that our thoughts are evil. There's a married church minister who had an affair with a lady, actually, in his church. And after he came to his senses, he said, I just don't know how this happened. The friend he was talking to said, I'm sure that's not true. It never is. Things like this happen because people have been thinking about them beforehand. Sin starts in the way we think, and that's what this story says. Didn't Jesus teach the same? In the Sermon on the Mount? People of that day regarded sin in terms of acts of murder, of adultery, just the same. But Jesus says, no, the root cause is the anger that people hold that gives rise to murder. Adultery, no, Jesus says, it's the lust people have in their hearts and their minds. That's evil. What's the opposite of evil? Spell it backwards. To live. To live in close harmony to Jesus is the opposite of evil. Anyway, in Noah's time, people had forgotten God. And forgetting God always leads to various forms of immorality. It always does. This is why it's so interesting talking to people who are atheists or humanists. You look at their silent lives, their private lives. They're not very attractive. There's a very interesting book called The Intellectuals that talks about the private lives of the avant-garde thinkers of the last 200 years. It is appalling what's happened. These people who rejected God, rejected the Bible and the way they behaved, illegitimate children, murdered children. Well, in Noah's time, the people have forgotten God. Can you look at 6 verse 5? There it is. Evil thoughts become practical wickedness. Now, the result of rebellion against God is always judgment from God. It may come soon or it may come later, but God says judgment will come. There's a lovely story of an American farmer who was very anti-religious. And he used to plough his field deliberately on Sunday morning near to the church. And he'd shake his fist at the church people as they were going to the service. October came, harvest, and he had the finest crop that he'd ever had. In fact, far better than anyone else in the region. When the harvest was complete, he put an advert in the local paper which belittled the Christians and their faith. And near the end of his diatribe, he wrote this: "Faith in God must not mean much if someone like me can prosper." The Christians decided they would respond, but they did so very graciously. They put an advert the next week in the paper. God doesn't always settle his accounts in October. The next slide. Man is destined, the Bible says, to die once and after that to face judgment. Next one. It comes again and again, this. We will all stand before God's judgment seat. So our friends who trifle with God will pay a price. And if we turn our backs on God, we will pay a price. Now, some people are saying that selfishness and the resulting evil is really just the result of a selfish gene that's in us. Have you heard this? It's all going around at the moment. That's all we are, a selfish gene. But that is not God's point of view. Look at 6:11, would you? "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways." They had corrupted their ways. It's deliberate. Look on to the end of 13. "The earth is filled with violence because of them." Our thoughts give rise to evil. There's a young man who went to a Roman Catholic seminary to train as a priest, but he decided it really wasn't his liking, and he gave up after the second year. But he had no money. So he thought of a quick way to get some money. He decided to rob a bank. He got an imitation pistol, and he went in there, but he wasn't very good at crime, and he got caught. Arrested at his trial, he was found guilty. And the judge asked him if there's anything he would like to say before he passed sentence. And this young man said, "I don't know what came over me. It must have been the devil that got into me." He tried to blame someone else. The judge, though, who knew his Bible, said, "You of all people should know the scriptures, which say, it is out of the heart of man that comes forth wickedness." 7 years. And some of us heard David Hamilton the other night. Amazing man. Those who didn't, he was a member of the UBF, commander, and he used to go around shooting people and burning their houses and burning them if they're inside. But when he's in prison, he remembered God when he came across John 3:16, isn't it? And he realized that it was his evil thoughts that led to evil actions. But both could be forgiven. And that's what he talked about. If you want to hear that video, it's marvelous. So, the first thing to learn from this story is the disaster of evil. The second thing is the example of godliness. Now, I used to think of Noah as being a sort of Superman. You know, in one of those best ways, a superhero. You know, Spider-Man type. Someone who's somehow different to us lot. But he was just like you and me. He's ordinary, he did things wrong, he had his faults. Sometimes he succumbed to temptation for a short while. But he set the compass of his life in the direction of living as God wanted. Look at verse 9, can you? Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time. Oh, we know they're a bad lot. We've just seen that. He walked with God. He did what God wanted. See, Noah turned off the broad road that everyone else was walking along and determined to walk with God. He had a personal faith. That's what it means to be a Christian. To walk with God. Noah said, God is now the focus of my life. I want to please him. From now on, I'll live as God wants. Whatever the cost, I'll walk with God. And it meant he was obedient to God, to what God had said. So, God told him how to build this massive ark. See how long it was? 150 yards long, 25 yards wide. Far too big to put in a local river or stream. Can't you imagine the ridicule of the people as they looked at this man? Imagine the taunts of people who were there. Look at the archangel. He thinks he knows a lot about God. You know how they taunt him. Let's down 6:22. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now, in case any of the people reading this book were like Bungalow. Do you remember Bungalow, David Hamilton's? His cellmate in prison. He's called Bungalow because there's no other story. There's nothing up there. And in case any of the readers are a bit like Bungalow, look at 7:5. He says it again. Noah did everything that the Lord commanded him. Look, 7:9, it's the same again. Noah entered the ark as God had commanded him. What a fantastic lesson this is for us. God's word is not to be trifled with. Study it every day, but not just for head knowledge, but to do it, to live as God wants. This mattered to Noah. He pressed on with the job. It was a hard job. He faced the ridicule. He had to organize. He lived by faith. In fact, in the New Testament, he's picked out like this, isn't he? If you flick over to Hebrews, where you've got that great list of people who live by faith, Hebrews 11 verse 7. Anyone got the page in the Blue Bible?
8:3,
thank you. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. D.L. Moody was an American preacher, an extraordinary preacher. And he came across to Dublin. And when he was there, he was talking to an English evangelist, a man called Henry Varley. And Varley said to him, as they were chatting in the Baptist church after an evening, he said, Moody, you know, that's how they talked in those days, Moody, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully committed to him. And those words resonated around D.L. Moody. as he went back on his ship to America. He kept seeing those words on the planks, on the deck. As he went to Chicago, he saw it everywhere. They just resonated to him. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully committed to him. Yeah, Noah was like that. In fact, in another bit in the New Testament, in 2 Peter 2, 4 and 5, it says, God protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, when he brought the flood on ungodly people. You see, if anyone understands what it means to be forgiven by God, they'll want to share it with other people. They'll want to tell people how they can be forgiven too. They'll pass it on. Well, this story tells us the disaster of evil, but it also tells us an example of godliness. But the next slide, the love of God is the focus of the whole story, isn't it? The real hero is God himself. Some of you may remember when we looked at Genesis 1, which is also about God himself. We looked at the verbs and saw that's what God's like. Would you quickly look down here at the verbs we have here that describe God? Look at 6:5. The Lord saw, even into people's minds. He knows what goes on in your mind. You can't con him. 6. The Lord would grieve, was grieved at man. When we rebel against him, it hurts him. 6:7. The Lord said. It's the great message of the Bible. God is a speaking God. He tells us what he thinks. 6:8. The Lord judges. I'll wipe mankind from the face of the earth. God hates sin. See, it's all about God. The Lord rescues his people. Just look down to 17, the end of 17 and 18. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you. What a joy it is to be one of this God's people, rescued by God himself. You see, the ark of that, the wood of that ark, reminds us of the wood of the cross. They're symbols of rescue for people who obey him, who turn to God. And then we've got that last thing that Nick talked about, the rainbow. Whenever you see it in the sky, do remember the lesson of this story. Remember that God has provided a means of rescue. So even if we are on the broad road, we're living like everyone else, like the people of Noah's time, and if I might say so, like the people of your time, your friends, they're all going on this broad road. They couldn't care less about God. But if a person determines to be like Noah, to be like Moody, say, I want to be that person, then we have a fantastic promise. Whenever you see a rainbow, will you remember this promise? God has planned to send the Lord Jesus to be our rescuer, and his word can be utterly relied on. So will we be like evil people, like other people in the world? Oh, some people, we won't know. Only you know, and God knows. Or will we follow the example of godliness of Noah? Can we say those words that resonated through Moody's mind? The world has yet to see what God will do with one man who's committed to him. Well, me, Bernard, Rosie, put your name there. The world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully committed to him. Shall we pray? Lord, help us not to miss the point of this story. Help us to be clear that you hate sin. You hate those thoughts that lead to evil actions. But you want us to live, and we can do that by turning to you. Lord, help us to determine to be Christ-centered people, people of God, people who draw others to him, people who behave as God wants, as the Bible teaches, until we eventually see the full rescue as we join you in heaven. Amen.